There it is. There it is. There it is. Yeah, I mean, people actually hummed this tune. I mean, props to Daniel Ramirez and Ben Tolliday. That's all I can say.
It's very catchy.
Hey, everybody, it's Kai, and that is not Kimberly Adams. It is not Molly Wood.
No.
It is Rima Kreis in today on a Friday with us for Economics on Tap, because Molly's out and Kimberly's out, and Rima was oh so kind to step in here. So we're going to do the same thing we always do, a little news, a little make me smileishness. I really love mine today, by the way.
Oh, me too.
And that's that. Yeah, it's so great. And that's what's what. I am. What am I doing? I'm drinking a beer.
Yeah, what are you drinking?
Hop Secret, local. It's called Hop Secret. It's a brewery in a strip mall out in like Monrovia or something. A tiny little brewery. But you know, whatever. They're one of the dads of the guys who works there pinged me after I posted about beer and said, "Hey, try my son's brewery." And I was like, "All right, I did." So it's good beer.
That's good.
That's that. You
I like it. So last time I made chai, I love, by the way, that I get to do this edition of
I know, it's Friday. It's a special Friday.
Okay, great. I'll do the Friday one. So last time I made a chai, this time I was a little bit more ambitious, and I made a date shake. Do you know what a date shake is? You can see it.
Well, I know what a shake is, and I know what dates are. Is it a shake made out of dates?
That is correct. It is amazing. It's like the
I bet
best.
You that's great.
Yeah, it's just a couple dates, a couple bananas, some milk.
I bet that's awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's great. And some chia seeds.
Some what do you say?
I feel like it's impossible to say chia seeds without saying chia.
I think so, like, yes.
Props to them
slogan. You are too young to remember this. But yeah. Chia pets, if I said chia pets, would that mean anything to you?
Yeah, that's what it's from. Chia.
Yeah, no, I know. But okay. Chia pets were like a huge, they were like a craze back in what, 80s or whatever it was? It was bananas.
But I feel like it was just the advertisement that was great. But I'm like, did anyone actually buy the chia pets? I don't know a single person who owns those.
I don't know. I'm sure you can get them on eBay. okay, so we're going to do a news thing, and it's a news thing because both of us have the same thing because it's actually, I think, a really big deal. It is not being covered enough, and we should talk about it. So since you had it in there first, and I kind of piggybacked on you, set it up for us, and then we talk about it.
Yeah. So I've been like reading about this throughout the day. What's going on in Portland is wild. So some context, if you haven't been catching up. So there's still protests in Portland, right, following the police killing of George Floyd in late May. You know, protesters are still speaking out against racism and police brutality, calling to defund the police. So they've been protesting now for more than 6 weeks. And, you know, Trump promised a really strong response to the protests. So he sent officers from the U.S. Marshals Service and from the DHS to protect federal property, the courts, and to help sort of like ease the protests because he said, quote, the locals couldn't handle it. Anyway, so for the last several days now, there have been reports in Portland of people in camouflage driving around the area in unmarked minivans, grabbing people off the street. And reporting has shown that these people are federal law enforcement officers. And so there have been these personal accounts and all these videos on Twitter, social media, showing these officers like driving up to people, detaining them without much explanation or really any explanation about why they're being arrested and then driving off. There was one account that got a lot of attention that you probably came across, Kai, of this guy who he was walking home around 2 a.m. He says he was walking home around 2 a.m. when he was detained and put in a van. And he says he was wearing a beanie and they pulled his beanie over his head and then eventually put him in a cell. And then some officers came, read his Miranda rights, and they still didn't tell him why he was being arrested. And then he declined to waive his Miranda rights and said he wanted a lawyer. And then about 90 minutes later, he was released and he said he didn't get any paperwork or a citation or there wasn't really a record of his arrest. And there have been like multiple reports of this now, which is wild. And then there was also an account of a protester whose skull was fractured because he was shot by these less lethal munitions. Yeah. And then there have been reports of tear gas. So it's a lot going on in Portland right now. And I think go for it.
Yeah, well, no, I was just going to say two things. Number one, there's all kinds of videos out there, which I encourage you to watch. The one I saw this morning, was a guy on a bike who was pulled off the bike and accosted by half a dozen officer is in tactical gear with no other markings, having jumped out of an unmarked van. And this is, and so the governor of Oregon, the Oregon authorities don't want the federal officials there. They're objecting to the methodology and the modus operandi. They are accusing the Trump administration, and on the face of it, it seems reasonable, of deliberately stirring up discontent, because what happens is the protesters react negatively, and then it all spirals to a whole nother level, and the Trump administration can then say, look, we need to be there because these protests are getting violent. And I guess I would just say that this is not, and this is the first time I've said this in 3 years of this administration, this is not what happens in America. This is what happens in Argentina when people disappear. Right.
It does feel like a headline from a different place, a different time.
That's exactly right. And we're doing it now. I think the both of us realize that this needs amplification because it is, it's really, really troubling. Just on the face of it, unmarked vans, unmarked officers, detaining people, exercising their First Amendment rights to free speech, right? These protesters aren't being violent, the original ones. I despair just a bit.
Yeah.
Well, more than a bit, but you know.
And I mean, it raises a lot of questions too, right? Like raises the question of what role, like what does it say about the role federal authorities can play in policing of a local city, especially when those local leaders do not want it, right? The local leaders, the mayor, the governor, they're telling these federal enforcement officers to leave.
Yep.
And, you know, and people are obviously questioning the constitutionality of all of this. I know the ACLU of Oregon has said that it is unconstitutional and they're trying to do something about that. Yep. And even if it is lawful or if there's a loophole, reporting shows that, like, you know, it would take some congressional action to change that. But it's just it's wild. And I do like another thing that sort of comes up for me here is like, you know, is this, and I think this is what a lot of folks are saying, is like, is this a way to sort of the administration to test its limits in terms of its executive power? And, you know, there are activists who are saying that this could be, or not even activists, just folks out there who are saying that this could, is this like a foreshadow essentially to what we could see in other cities with protests right now?
I think that's exactly right. And I, you know, Portland is, no offense to Portlandians who are listening to this. Thank you so much for listening. My brother lives there. I did a Portlandia episode. Love the city, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it's a smallish city, a little bit out of the way, not in the limelight. And it would be one thing for this to be happening in Portland, another thing for this to be happening in New York City or Washington, D.C. or Chicago or Dallas or L.A., right? That would be a different deal. So that sort of does go to the test. And you know, it's interesting. So Ken Cuccinelli, who was is the acting head of, oh man, I forget which agency because there are so many acting people, was up in Portland today and pointed at some graffiti and said, see what we see in Portland? We need to be here. And I think the idea of disproportionate response is a relevant one here as well. And look, so this is, I mean, this is, so let's be clear here, right? This is well outside the marketplace bailiwick. It is well outside the bailiwick of this podcast, right? Tech, the economy, and culture. But it is news. It is of the moment. And it is a big, big issue as we head into an election in 108-9 days, whatever, you know?
Right.
I don't know if you heard that, but that was my 13-year-old. You opened your windows, I opened my windows, and I told you you're going to hear
some
kids.
What did the 13-year-old say?
So that was my 13-year-old. All she said was, Kai! She calls me Kai. She probably wants me to wash the dogs with her. But anyway. Anyway, jeez. So it's okay to have the windows open. But full disclosure, before we started going, Rima was saying, you know, I turned the air conditioning off so I wouldn't have the fan noise. And I'm like, open it up. It's our podcast.
I was like, I created a sauna in my living room. Is that okay? No.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the news, right? Yeah. And I encourage all y'all to read into that because I don't think this story is going away. And the underlying cause of which this is a symptom is not going away either. So that's that.
Mm-hmm. That's that. And Oregon Public Broadcasting, they've been on top of it. So
yeah,
that's
well, props to OPB. I think they actually broke it, right? Didn't they break it?
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
Yeah. So props to public radio.
Yeah.
Donate to your local station.
Go us.
Thank you very much. Also,
give us money. What?
All right. That's right. Okay. So, who's in? Drew, is that you in charge down in LA? I don't know. We should have you on a camera too. But if it's you, hit the button, you know, and let us change the mood, shall we?
Let us smile. All
right. Let us smile. All right. I love mine, so I'm going first.
Okay, go for it.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. So, we all have heard about Captain Tom Moore, the British guy, World War II veteran, 100 years old, who raised something like $33 million or dollars for British public health services by walking back and forth in his courtyard. When he started, he was 99, and then he turned 100 in the course of this thing. So anyway, so his name is Tom Moore. He's a World War II veteran of India and Burma. He's a 100-year-old guy. I mean, look at him. He's cute as all get out.
Yeah.
Today, he was knighted by the Queen. And two things. Number one, it happened outside because of social distancing, right? And because the Queen is in isolation at Windsor Castle. Number two, Captain Sir Tom Moore did not have to kneel because he's 100. But there's a video of this thing, which we are going to put. Exactly, right? But she did the whole thing with the sword on the shoulders and stuff, and it was great to watch. We've got a video. It'll be on the show page.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But there was a moment, honestly, where I thought she was going to fall over. I was a little bit worried that the Queen, at 94, was going to topple over. Anyway, check it out. It's really cool. I just, you know, I am not a monarchist, but I enjoy the history that the royal family represents, and certainly the Queen and this guy going back to World War II. That's a big one. Anyway, that's my thing. Check it out. We've got the video in our show notes. Yeah.
I hear that story, and I'm like, wow, I literally have no excuse not to move my body more. Right?
Yeah.
It's a great, it's a cute little video. I'd recommend watching that. Okay, so my Make Me Smile, I love my Make Me Smile, too. And would you know, it also has to do with the Queen, but a different queen.
Nice. Go ahead. That was good. You're all about the segues today. You're all about the segues. Go ahead.
Yep. So I was scrolling through Twitter in bed this morning, trying to get the energy to get up. And I saw this headline.
Hang on. Huh. Twitter before you get out of bed?
Yes. It's the first thing. It's pretty, I know. Dude, it's like literally wake up, reach the phone, text Twitter. And then I just feel more tired.
Wow.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Should probably start
out of
new
bed.
Morning habits.
Out of bed before you get on Twitter. That's me. Out of bed before you get on Twitter.
Should do some laps. Anyway, okay. Right. So anyway. I see this headline and it says, I'm just going to read it because that's the best way to do it. It says, feeling antsy? Join the club. Nearly 2 million people on Facebook are pretending to be ants. And I was like, okay, what is this about? And then I read it and it's the headline is just like very self-explanatory. There are hundreds of thousands of people online acting as ants. And so there's this private Facebook group and it's titled A Group Where We All Pretend to Be Ants in an Ant Colony. And the rules are very simple. You just act like an ant and then you worship the queen and do ant stuff. Welcome to the colony. And so you just can't talk about politics, can't hate, can't be racist. And then all you do is like there are these pictures of like people at a picnic or a food, and then there are ants swarming it. And then you post in the comments and you say, like, you do a command. So you can do like lift, bite, eat. And then you have to address, this is so silly. I'm talking about this as if it's the most serious thing in the world. I hate myself right now.
Two million people are doing this. Come on. Yeah, man. Yep, look, it's what it is.
I may or may have not joined this group this morning, but, and you have to address everyone as Aunt, so you'd be Aunt Kai. But anyway, it's silly. It's silly, but it's just like one of those things that are on the internet right now to like as a form of escapism to just not have to deal with this kind of depressing world.
Look, bless everybody who needs escapism right now. That's, you know, we all do.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. I think that is fine. So if you are in this group, more power to you. More power to you.
Right. Well, I also learned something. So most worker ants, I think all worker ants are female.
I think I knew that.
It's a little fun fact. I didn't know that. Once again, you know, not getting the recognition they deserve,
yes, exactly. Once again, women doing all the work, getting none of the recognition. Oh, man.
Anyway.
Too true.
That's true.
All right.
That's what I make me
so that's it for us on a Friday.
It's funny.
That's it for us on a Friday. Thanks for listening. No, it's good. It's good, right? honestly, in all seriousness, can you imagine this pandemic in like 1975 without the internet, right?
No.
Can you imagine that?
I need the internet.
Yeah. We need it. That's it. It's Friday. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For those of you on the live stream, send those questions, comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Sign up for our newsletter. Erica Phillips writes it, as you'll hear in a moment, at marketplace.org/newsletters. Molly Wood is, I believe, back on Monday, but you know, we'll see what happens. Hmm. Show up and we'll see who's here. I'm pretty sure I'll be here.
It'll be Molly. All right, Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson, who I used to sit across from. Hey, Sam. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, who I also used to sit across from. And our video producer is Ben Hethcote. Our video intern is Ethan Parrott. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
Drew Jostad was in charge today down in downtown L.A., pushing the buttons, making things happen. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand and the senior producer of this podcast this week is Tar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And there we go. On a Friday,
right.
We are at it.
We're
here.
Done.
Boom.
I'm
going to
go
done.
Play with my aunt friends. By play, I mean work.
That's just weird, man. That's just
because I've got to work to please the majesty.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right.
Whatever works. Whatever works. Thanks, Rima. Bye, everybody.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.